Let's give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're gathered together for such a time as this. Thank you, Lord, for everyone listening and for all those who could make it into service. We can sense the presence of the Lord. Can you sense him? It's almost overwhelming. The presence of God is so strong in his church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share the word of God. And Lord, we just pray right now, Father God, that your revelation and your spirit and understanding is upon us, Lord, as we look at the Lord is a God of mishpat. He is a God of justice. And Father, we thank you this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's go to our first scripture. You can download the PowerPoint outline on our website at godsriver.com. And also, if you're a member of the church, you should have received it via email. And if you're not on our email list and you would like to be, just go ahead and send us your email address and we will send it to you also. So let's go to Psalm 89, 13 through 15. And the scripture says, let's read it together. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Let's make a joyful sound this morning. Hallelujah. Justice and righteousness emanate from the nature and character of God. And throughout the Bible, it is presented that the people of God are to abide in that character, the character of God of justice and righteousness. And the scripture that we read says justice and righteousness are the foundation of God's throne. So everything that God does is through justice and righteousness, and he does it perfectly. If he didn't, his throne would be sitting cockeyed. Is that right? So God knows how to perfectly give righteousness and justice and to keep it all balanced. And I wanted to share this morning, I didn't share this last week, but the word, the Hebrew word for justice is mishpat, and it has many meanings. Last week we looked at the restorative nature of the judgment of God and how he restores back to us what has been stolen. All right, it is Strong's Hebrew 49:41, and I'm just going to read what it says. Judgment, justice, ordinance, act of deciding a case, place, court, seat of judgment, process, procedure, litigation case, cause presented for judgment, sentence, decision of judgment, execution of judgment, time of judgment, right, restitute, attributes of God or man, privilege, due legal, proper fitting, measure, fitness, custom, manner, plan. So when the Hebrews use this word justice, it's used in many different applications. Let's go on to Luke 18. And I'm just going to make this point. When Jesus was talking to his disciples and teaching them about the justice of God, the judgment of God, about presenting a case, he shared with them some examples as a parable, and one of them was that of the persistent widow. And we're not going to read through the whole story, but what he was sharing with them was there was a widow that felt that she had an injustice, and she would not be quiet about it. And every day she would go to the judge and she would state her case to, it says, an unrighteous judge. She would go to that judge and state her case. And finally, this judge says, "This woman is driving me crazy. She's relentless. She will not give up." And when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he was using that parable to demonstrate how we should be in prayer when we go to the sovereign judge of the universe, that we should always pray and never give up. The parable of the persistent widow and the unjust judge is just a part of a series of illustrations that Jesus used to teach his disciples about prayer. And this is the concept. We never should give up. If we know that it is God's will and God has spoken it, then just like her, we should be persistent in going to the righteous judge, the sovereign judge of the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who sits upon a throne of righteousness and justice, who has a strong and mighty arm and a high right hand. Give your neighbor a high five with your right hand, or pretend. Hallelujah. Yes. When you pray the will of God before the throne of God, you get a high right hand. Hallelujah. Matthew 7, 7 and 8, Jesus also spoke this. He said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." The persistent widow would not give up. She just kept knocking and knocking at the door. So, you know, we don't always get immediate results from our prayers. And, you know, it's probably a good thing some things don't get answered immediately, right? Because when you go a little bit further down the line, you're like, I probably shouldn't have prayed that. Hallelujah. But when we know that sometimes it just doesn't happen right away. Because what Jesus was teaching his disciples is prayer requires tenacity and faithfulness. So a disciple of Jesus Christ who has a clear understanding of prayer is never going to give up, but they are going to have absolute trust and faith in God. Is that you? Is that how you feel? Is that your position? Is that how you've positioned your heart? That we can fully count on the Lord to answer us. Amen. But he decides when and where and how he's going to do it. But what God expects of us and what God was teaching, or Jesus was teaching his disciples, is that we are to keep asking. We're to keep seeking. We're to keep knocking and praying until the answers come. I wanted to share with you this morning the word of the Lord that I sent down to CI this week. And I'm just going to read it to you. It should come up on the screen. And I'm putting together all of the words from the elders and the declarations from the intercessors. So we should have those ready next week and we will hand them out. For those of you who come, we can send them digitally. We can send them as an attachment to your email. And so let us know if you'd like to receive one of those. But I wanted to share the word of the Lord this morning. So the word we are hearing for 2021 is justice. Justice and righteousness emanate from the nature and character of God. The Hebrew word for justice is mishpat. And it is most often used to refer to restorative justice. It means to make it right for the person who has been wronged. I think of it as restoring a person to a place of peace. The focus and direction the Lord has given us regarding justice is found in Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? In the midst of a nation full of chaos, God has given us clear direction. We have our marching orders to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. We hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that walking in humility with God will open doors of opportunity. The Lord reminded us we are called to reach out to those who are down and out. When a living soul is being taken advantage of, we are to do more than talk about it. God has called us to active duty. The Lord is inviting us to walk humbly with Him and join Him in what He is doing. He has anointed us to bring healing and restoration to weary souls. We show the Lord's justice by pulling them up to a higher place in their natural and spiritual circumstances. The Lord has assigned His church, the ecclesia, to establish kingdom principles in communities that will demolish oppressive systems and structures. There are unjust works going on all around us, and God is exposing them. We will see the justice of the Lord God Almighty demonstrated in our nation. We decree, according to Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Amen. And as the Lord gave me this word, I said, Lord, it is time for the facade of corrupt governing systems and religious hypocrisy of our day to be exposed. God's Spirit of truth is uncovering political propaganda that is misleading and masquerades as programs for the greater good of all mankind. And as I was praying about this, I went back to some studies that I had done and some resources that I had, and I remembered the teaching about the mastermind behind all of this is a political spirit. And that political spirit forges alliances with principalities and powers in pursuit of its own power. The political spirit works behind the scenes, and it works behind the scenes to drive people to lose their moral compass in pursuit of power. And we see this happen so often with people who are in positions of power and authority. They are influenced by something that causes them to lose their moral compass. It's a spirit that's been specifically assigned, now get this, to block the establishment of the government of the kingdom of God in the earth. So what we see that is functioning and operating is a political spirit that opposes anything and everything that God does. And it does this, it does its evil work by instituting false government and corrupt political practices. It is the spirit behind the division in the churches. We have said many times, we will not play politics here. People are not going to step on one another to try and get to a higher place within the church. We do not function in that way. But this is what causes division within churches, because people begin politicking because they want more for themselves, or they think that they have something better than somebody else. Nobody is any better than anybody else in this house. We are all anointed children of the Lord God Most High. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the body of Christ, and we are working together with the Lord God Almighty to accomplish His will in every person's life. One is not greater than the other. My little toe is not more important than my ear. We need every part of the body functioning. So it does its evil work by instituting false government. And it loves to position itself in earthly governments. And within earthly governments, as it is working behind it to position, we see this constantly, nations, leaders positioning themselves for their own good. Everything we do is to be for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God. Nations should rise up to be established for the Lord God Almighty in righteousness and justice for the people that are within the nation, not oppressive systems that are pushing people down and restricting them. This is a political spirit. It's the spirit that's behind terrorism. This is why there's terrorism, because the spirit is positioning themselves to terrorize people, to torture people. And it is the cause of anarchy across the globe today. It's cunning. It is subtle. And it's been working behind the scenes in our nation for years. And its purpose is to blindside the church and the world. And there are examples in the scripture about how it works. And I'm just going to share one. It's not in the PowerPoint because I wrote all of this out early this morning. But in the story in Matthew, we see that the wise men, Matthew 2, the wise men were preparing to go follow the star and find the Christ child. And in Matthew 2, 7 through 8, I'm just going to read it to you, unless they can pull it up back there. But Matthew 2, 7 through 8 says, "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.'" So the three wise men were pulled in to Herod's court secretly. He's working behind the scenes. And he tells them that, hey, send word back to me, because when you find him, I want to come worship him too. Well, you know, the first impression that the three wise men had was probably, wow, this is wonderful. Even the king wants to go worship the Christ child. And we have the blessing of the king to go and find him. And they had their gifts and they were ready to go. And so the wise men were led by God to the place where Jesus was born, and there they presented their gifts to him. And then, in Matthew 2:12, the Spirit of the Lord divinely alerted them. It says, "Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." You see, their discernment kicked in. Sometimes when you're in a situation, your discernment doesn't kick right in. But a few days, it's like something wasn't right with that. Have you ever experienced that? It may not happen right away, but God, he never lets us down. He will let us know when there is a spirit at work that is trying to destroy us, trying to get us off track. And you see, that's exactly what this spirit was doing. And see, God knows how to deliver us out of the hand of a political spirit, regardless of where it is working. So as soon as the wise men were on their way, Then Joseph had a dream. You see, God speaks to us in dreams. It's important to keep track of your dreams. Some people dream a lot, some people dream a little, but do you have a prayer journal? I believe that in this year of 2021, we need to be attentive to the ways that God speaks to us to lead us and to guide us. So now Joseph has a dream in Matthew 2:13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." So Herod's true motive was once again revealed to Joseph. See, there are several characteristics of a political spirit, but the one thing is that it will kill whatever God is doing at any cost. We have Herod, who is threatened by a child that was born, a grown man threatened by a baby. You know there's a demonic spirit at work. He was so threatened that someday this baby would grow up and take over his throne. And he was willing to massacre babies, kill them all. Matthew 2:14-15. The scripture says, Joseph arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So God delivered Joseph's family and Jesus through a dream. You see, if he would have waited too long, he wouldn't have been able to get out of town. Do you see how important it was that God alerted him? He didn't know the slaughter was coming, or maybe he did know, but when Herod gave his executive order, "Let's kill the babies," every baby under two, innocent children, every male, it was every male under 2 years old, he commanded that they be put to death. Let me just read Matthew 12:16-18. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. This political spirit gets really angry, and it has no conscience. It does not care about any other human being or any other organization. Herod wanted his way in his kingdom. It was all about him. He got very angry. He sent forth and put to death all male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations, weeping, and great mourning." Rachel, weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. How horrible. Just my mother's heart just yearns for the women and for the families, for the fathers, that their children were needlessly destroyed by the government. This political spirit will stop at nothing to destroy the creation of God. It has no regard, and it is out to kill, steal, and destroy and oppose anything that God is doing. So Herod was worried, as I said, about a little baby overthrowing his throne. Because this political spirit will go to any length to protect its position and maintain control and power. It's all about control and power. The political spirit will destroy anything and anyone that is threatening its agenda. The political spirit's agenda is to kill whatever God is doing at any cost. And I'm repeating myself because these are things that the Lord highlighted. We must know these things so that we recognize what is going on within our own world and within our own situations. But let's go on to the heart of God concerning you. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slack." Read it with me. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So God is not willing that anyone perish. That word perish means be totally destroyed. You see, our God is not a God of destruction, but our God is a God of life and restoration. And he does not want us to be overcome by the world. And he takes time. He has been taking necessary time to prepare us, to prepare the church, to prepare the ecclesia. I've gone back in my notes and we have been teaching the kingdom of God since the beginning of the establishing of this church. So that means for 24 years we have been declaring, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." That the ecclesia is the ruling power in the earth. We have the keys to the kingdom. And I didn't bring my keys in this morning. I was going to bring them in. I went into my office and there were some beautiful keys laying there by my computer that says God has given you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever we open on earth, God is going to open in heaven. What we shut on earth is going to be shut up in heaven. And so God is working with us from the get-go. Get this revelation. God is for us. God is working with us. We step into what he is doing. We join Jesus Christ. The scripture says in him we live and move and have our being. So when we are going to war for the kingdom of God, we step into Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He has never lost a battle. And I'm just going to keep going. So just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He does not want us to be overcome by the world and the evil that we see coming and being displayed in our world. It is evil. Evil. And he said the wickedness is going to get worse. So we have to position ourselves in the Lord knowing that evil is coming. Evil is being exposed, but the Lord said, as it is exposed, we become brighter. Our light shines brighter. We are the kingdom that is set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. We are not hiding our light in this season. I encourage you, be bold, be strong. Don't shut up and don't back down, because that's what they want you to do. But the kingdom of God is within us, and we are releasing the kingdom. We are positioning ourselves. He wants us to know he's not slack. He doesn't slack off. We slack off. Lord, forgive us for slacking off. He is never slacks off concerning his promises to his church, to his bride, to his family. We are his family. Hallelujah. It is a season of transformation and renewing our minds. We have been making great strides in kingdom mentality. I did a lot of teaching for many years on kingdom thinking, kingdom mentality. It's a season of transformation and understanding God's ways. God's ways are not our ways. It may not look the way we think it should look, but tell your neighbor, it doesn't matter what you think. No, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we get in step with God, that we enter into, get this, the governmental authority of the kingdom of God in this season. This is where we're functioning. We have spent 25 years of preparation, preparing the saints of God to step into this very moment and this very time. We are in the kingdom of God era. We have shifted and we're functioning with governmental authority from the King. I believe God's been preparing us to receive His sovereign rule in our personal lives and our corporate lives. Playing church, we've said it for years, we're not playing church. Playing church is over. You are the church. We are the ecclesia. We are God's governing authority in the earth. Shift whatever needs to be shifted today, Lord. Adjust whatever needs to be adjusted in our minds, in our belief systems, to step in to the governmental authority that you have for us. We decree and declare that that mantle is coming upon all of us in Jesus' name. Everyone connected to us, Lord, release the mantle of governing authority upon your people. And we praise you and thank you, Lord. We receive it today in Jesus' name. Take us to another level of understanding and revelation, Lord. We step up with you. We step into you. We come into agreement with what you are doing in this season. Thank you, Jesus. The purpose of God's government, for the most part, is corporate. To function in the kingdom of God with kingdom authority. So in the kingdom, we do away with my mentality. My success, my ministry, my gifts, my calling. You know, we've gone through years of listening to my gifts, my calling, my word. Let's step into what God is doing corporately. See, we function with the understanding that in the kingdom of God, we're given governmental authority, and that authority belongs to the King. It doesn't belong to you. The governmental authority that we receive belongs to the King of Kings. And we only receive that as we come into alignment. One of my mentors early on told me, if you have not been with God, you cannot speak for God because you don't have nothing to say. And what we have to say is from Father God, and it all belongs to Him. So all the glory, all the honor, all the praise goes to God. It is not highlighting people. It is making Jesus famous. It is talking about the King. It's talking about His greatness, His graciousness, and the authority that He gives us within to operate in His kingdom. But all authority belongs to God. So get your mind shifted in the right place. You're not all that. A lot of people have gotten into a lot of trouble for thinking they're all that. When we function in the kingdom, remember, we are God's ambassadors. Think about that. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. So we have a kingdom assignment versus a personal assignment. And in our personal lives, we're used to dealing with the enemy on a daily basis, right? Within our sphere of authority, have you had a few battles? Yes. Yes, and those are battles that we fight. We stand together for those things. But there are responsibilities that you have yourself within your family, within your sphere, that you're charged with to take authority over. Is that right? Because you can take it into your own hands, right? And that's your personal authority. God gives us authority in our sphere. Now, when we step into assignments representing God's government, we can't take that on ourselves to have skirmishes with the enemy. We're dealing at a whole new level of warfare, church. This is what I want you to get the revelation and understanding. We're dealing at a whole new level of warfare, and there are strategies for the battle. And this is what the Lord started showing me. When Secretary of State Pompeo goes in for negotiations, he goes in representing President Trump, the United States of America, and he goes in and he gives his message. And it isn't his responsibility to get someone else to accept that message, but it is his responsibility to go in and give it. Does that make sense? Okay, he doesn't start fighting with them, arm wrestling with them, throwing things at them if they don't agree with him or if they don't cooperate. Is that right? He gets up, goes back to President Trump, and they execute a plan based upon the response. Okay, we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. We are called to bring a message into situations, into the atmosphere, into this territory. Maybe you're called to bring a message into the business that you own. Whatever that sphere is, but corporately, church, we are dealing with principalities and powers that aren't just over our little territory, but they are over our nation and they are over other nations. And corporately, we come in with the word of the Lord. And we share the message. We declare to the heavenlies what God has said. And then we release the word of the Lord to perform what it has sent out to do. We praise God for the victory. We release the warring angels to go out and carry out the assignment. And we present it to the sovereign judge of the universe. See, we're praying in the courts of heaven. If we've been in the courts of heaven, we can release the word of the Lord and we can be at rest. Don't wear yourself out. Do you hear me? Because too many people are bogged down with worry, stressed, doubting. When we have done the will of God, we let it rest upon God. Amen. He executes the judgments. So we deliver the message. And you see, we have to learn the place of the wrath of God. I taught this a few weeks ago about getting in God's way. We get in God's way. We try to make it happen. We rescue people. We jump in and God doesn't even have a chance. So we have to learn about allowing God's wrath to work. We move ourselves out of the way and make way for his government to respond. Are you catching this? We're making way for his government to respond in the earth, in our situations. Let's read Romans 12, 19 together. Beloved, don't be obsessed with taking revenge, but leave that to God's righteous justice. For the scriptures say, if you don't take justice in your own hands, I will release justice for you, says the Lord. I saw a meme, and it was a granny cocking her gun, saying, Jesus ain't taking care of this, I'm going to fix it. This is not the mentality we are supposed to have. Hallelujah. So we're ambassadors of the King. We're ambassadors in the kingdom of God, and we have a message from the King. And we present that to principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, and wickedness in high places. We decree and declare the message that we've been given from the King. Remember, this is the decade of the pay. It's the decade of the mouth. The decade of speaking forth and delivering messages. So we deliver the message to the powers of darkness from the kingdom of light. I don't think it's on the PowerPoint because I think I added this morning. But Ephesians 3:10 through 13. It gives you a deeper revelation and understanding of what was being taught in this chapter. It says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the ecclesia, by the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And so the manifold wisdom of God is made known to principalities and powers by the church. My house will be called a house of prayer. When we come together, we're taking care of God's business. And if we will take care of God's business, he will take care of what concerns us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So when we come together as the church, there are declarations that we make together. There are prayers and decrees that we make together. Why? Because we are releasing the will of God into our territory. So I'm not going to have time today to go into this next passage, but we will read it together. Psalm 149, 6 through 9 says this, let the high praises of God be in thy mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. What is your honor? It is to execute the judgments that are already written. We decree and declare as the church of Jesus Christ two principalities and powers. This is a corporate anointing. We do this as the ecclesia together. We have stepped into another level of warfare. Know what God expects of us, our desires of us, and if we will say yes, Lord, to his way, to his will, he will honor that. He rewards obedience. Is that right? Being obedient to what God is doing in this season, it's an honor. It's an honor. It's nothing to get stressed about. Those of us that have been praying and interceding and seeking God over the years, it's just like, it's not like you're stepping up and straining yourself. It is simply walking right on into what God is doing. Open our eyes. Let's just pray. Father, open our eyes to see what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your strength. We thank you for that mantle of all right, we're going to move this a little. Not sure why it keeps doing that. But Father, it's just a disruption, right? A distraction. This is how sound systems work. We anoint our sound system in Jesus' name. But Lord, we thank you for the word of the Lord that went forth today. We thank you, Father, for deeper revelation and understanding, Father God, of what our part is here in the earth. We thank you, Father, for the honor to pray as the church of Jesus Christ together to release your will into the earth. And Father, we just come into agreement and say, yes, Lord, to what you're doing in this season. Lord, give us your heart in Jesus' name. Amen. One more thing before we transition to receive our offering. We, after service, we are going to pray together through the Give Him 15 declarations today. If you would like to stay, you're welcome to stay. Pastor Jay put blue tape on the floor 6 feet apart so you know where you can stand. There are signs up here at the altar that are 6 feet apart. But we want to pray and declare, or if we just want to get in a big circle so we can see each other, we can do that too. But I invite you, if you can stay, we need to pray. And when I got up this morning and I heard Dutch's declarations and prayer, I said, that goes right with the message. We need to do this together as the ecclesia, come into agreement with what God is saying right now and declare that as the church.